Psalm 103, part 2. Well, we're going to be talking about freedom today. We're going to be talking about faith, which brings forth freedom, brings us into this place called freedom. Get a better understanding of what freedom is. And immediately your mind goes to, when I say the word freedom, I might be, what choice? So I have choices to make. And no one's restricting me from those choices. So that's a certain understanding of freedom. And that is part of it, having choices that we can make. But there's a lot more to it, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about blessing. We're going to do a word study on what it means to be blessed, what it means to bless. So we'll do a little bit of word study right off the bat. We'll talk about a little bit of personal testimony, some recent things that have happened, some testimony from the Bible itself, the cloud of witnesses that speaks to us. It's right at our fingertips. But let's get into it. Psalm 103. I'm going to read it right through and come back to that first word, bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, brownies, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He has made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, our tent, our body, our physical frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, the wind passes over, it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye ministers or servants of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Before we get to the word bless, that word dominion that we finished up with there, you take that, those first three letters, that domain, and that we're going to talk about freedom. The domain of freedom has everything to do with God's kingdom, which is an eternal one. You take the natural kingdom that's around us, even the expanse of the universe, it's finite. That means there's an ending points to it in creation. Anything natural, you're going to find there's an end to it. There's only so much satisfaction that can come from it. There's good things in God's creation. We understand that. But doesn't compare to the great things of God's kingdom. That's where freedom is really realized, and we're going to ultimately get to that point. Yesterday, I got to take part in a funeral. Not take part in it, but go attend it. And God compelled me to go. I'm just a customer of this person, Steve McLeod, from Weesport. And as far as I knew, he was just a guy that delivered wood. But I really liked him because he would deliver with integrity. Every other company I've ever dealt with, it always gave me a certain amount of rotten wood. And I would challenge them on it. And I said, I really don't want the rotten wood. I'd pay you more if you wouldn't give me the rotten wood. And they said, no, this is what we do. Everybody does it. He was the first one that never did that. Always was a great load of wood. Every piece was solid. It sounds crazy, but I really appreciated that. It's a rare thing to find these days, integrity. So I appreciated that, and I felt compelled to go to his funeral. God was compelling me to go, and I was resisting that. I have social anxieties and different things. Yeah, I'm a pastor with social anxieties. And so I was challenged in that. But I'm going to get to that place of being able to make decisions, having choices, in that understanding what really freedom is. So keep that in mind. That story is going to come to bear at the end of this teaching, towards the end. But Psalm 103 begins, ends with that word as well, blessing the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. That Hebrew word is bara. It kind of is like, it's barak actually. It's kind of like the word bara. These are two Hebrew words that are found both in Genesis early on. I'm going to compare those two, and then we're going to break off into specifically looking at blessing. Bara has to do with creating. And it's right in verse 1 of Genesis. So let's go right back there. Genesis verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That word created is that bara. That word brings a lot of, if you study that and you break it out and you go into all the resources that we have to look up what that means, that really means cutting material. You could think of arts and crafts. You're cutting things and dividing that. And you see that in the first elements of creation. God's dividing things. Dividing darkness and light. Dividing water from dry land. Dividing things. Dividing things, animals from the plant kingdom. And so forth and so on. And man finally being divided, set apart from the rest of the animal kingdom. Because he's made in the likeness. And she is made in the likeness of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's the bara. So that's cutting material, like construction, shaping, forming things. With barak, with the blessing that we're told in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, the idea with blessing is a little bit different. Let's take a look at some more verses here. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Here we see early on in Genesis, God was the first one to bless. He's the first cause. God blessed us. He blessed his whole creation. You're going to see him go through all the creatures, blessing man, even blessing the Sabbath day and calling it holy. Blessing is a breaking. It's a releasing of something. And in our blessing of God, it's a breaking at the knee. Our knees break. And we bless God, there's that idea, if you look in the definition of it. So comparing these two words, one is has to do with construction, building, cutting material, dividing it, shaping it, forming it. And the other one has to do with breaking and releasing something. So when God blesses, he's releasing something, he's breaking something from himself into his creation. God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. With blessing, when God is doing blessing, it's different than his creation, than him creating, cutting material, and constructing. Now God is imparting, something's breaking forth from God into his creation. Jesus did this, an example in the New Testament with the fishes and loaves. A few people mentioned today the small things. Don't despise the small things. That God can do great things and mighty things. And that young lad that had those fishes and loaves, Jesus did a great thing with. So that material, taking something of material and expanding it out, breaking it out, he broke the bread. And it kept dividing and multiplying. In this blessing, this idea of blessing, you're going to see a connection between the material, the natural, and the immaterial, the abstract, the spiritual. when Jesus divided the fish and loaves, it wasn't just to feed people, which it did. That was something practical that happened. But there was the immaterial that went with it, the lesson of who he is and being able to trust in the Savior and demonstrating who he is actually. The words you shared today blessed God in that way. There was a lot of connection between the practical and the spiritual. You were blessing God in that way. Pat and Emma, the transition to Binghamton involves a lot of practical things. But you heard in his desire was his heart. He desired his heart to be totally tuned in and devoted to this thing that is happening down there, and that the Lord would be proclaimed. But there's the moving, there's all the things, there's the new kid, the arrival, and all of those practical things. But blessing the Lord, taking the practical, now breaking that out into the spiritual. The confrontation of the false teaching, hearing something audibly in your ear with James here. Bringing that into the testing of faith, realizing that God is doing something, wants him to react with truth. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 2, while we're in Genesis, look, let's keep continue understanding what this word means to bless, coming from the context of God blessing us. And God blessed, or he broke forth the seventh day and sanctified it, because that it had he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the created component in this case, the thing that was material, was time, a seventh day. It has, there it is, the practical thing on the calendar. It says Sunday. God imparted, he broke something from himself, he broke forth and blessed it. You could think of the alabaster bottle that was broken forth on Jesus. Do you guys remember that story? She came in and she had something. It was all of her possession. It was all of her worth as a young woman. It was the promise that she would have to be able to have for her future. It was her 401k. It was everything that she had. And she broke it. She blessed Jesus. She broke it. There's a literal demonstration of that. So something is breaking forth from God beyond the construction that God does and the building that he does. He's breaking forth something that's of spirit, something of himself into these things. In the seventh day, when he made it holy, he made it something of himself. And we're told that what that spiritual element is called rest. And we're very familiar with the physical rest. Roger's doing that right now because he was hunting this morning. But there's a spiritual rest as well. So there's the practical understanding of what this rest is, that God would take the seventh day, this little segment of time, every seventh day, and he would breathe into it. He would break something out of him, and that would be something spiritual, and that would be this rest that we're all supposed to enter into. In fact, even strive to enter in, it says, Hebrews 4, into this place of rest. We're not trying to impress people anymore. We're not trying to impress God. We're in a place of rest. We're comfortable in a sense that God paid for our sins. God has accepted us. We're accepted in the beloved. We're seated in heavenly places. We're comfortable. We don't have to earn our salvation. We don't have to earn or prove anything to anybody. That now motivates us in that rest, in that place of comfort, that motivates us to work, to do great things, more than we could ever possibly even dream of if we were just trying to do it the hard, sweaty way, trying to impress God and trying to impress other people. That's when we'll hear, I never knew you. So there's an element that God wants us to enter into that's the spiritual, to worship him in truth and spirit. And this idea of blessing is breaking us into this understanding. God blessing is him breaking his spirit into his creation. And we know Jesus himself, God with us, that the word became flesh, okay? So God broke in, he breathed in his spirit. He blessed his creation that way by actually stepping into creation. That's the ultimate example, isn't it? Let's go back to Psalm 103. Another example in Genesis, we won't go back there, but was when God breathed his likeness onto mankind. Not on the rabbits, not on the cats, not on the dogs, but mankind. that we were made in his image. Something broke. He blessed man that way, in a way that he didn't bless any other creature, mountains, lakes, anything. We are unique that way, that we're made in the image of God. Okay, that was something that broke from heaven, out of the very substance of God into his creation. Now we're at a place in Psalm 103 where now we're to bless. Something's to break from us, because what was broken from God and released to man, there's something that's to break from us and be released unto God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, to become broken and to release unto God. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In this particular example, in verse 2, what is breaking out is our memory. What's being called forth is our memory. And to break that out and bring back into memory the things that God has done. All that is within me, the knee bending, the body, and now the mind remembering. This is how we bless God, by remembering his blessing. Yesterday, the computer didn't work at home, and Gretchen had to get her music together, and just the hard drive, the memory was gone. It wouldn't boot up. I had to break open the computer. I had to remove the inches of dust that were all over the CPU and the power supply. But there's something to do with that. There's something that has to be broken through, all of the stuff that has gone, that's got on top of those memories that has obscured it. We have to refresh our memory. It has to be broken into again. It has to be brought forth. So remembering blesses God, and this is exactly what's being told us in Psalm 103. Remembering his blessing, in fact, and that blesses God. When do we first see man blessing God? Still on the context of blessing God, which is going to bring us into an understanding of faith, which is going to bring us into a place of freedom. When was the first instance of man blessing God? We see God blessing man, imparting himself into his creatures. That's back in Genesis as well, but a little bit later on. Genesis 14. This is the first instance of man returning that blessing, breaking something out, releasing something unto God. Genesis 14, verse 20. Speaking of Abraham. Verse 19 we'll begin with. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. This is Abraham releasing and blessing unto God. The first use of that context where there's a return of something from man being released unto God. In this case, it's tithing unto this priest. So there's something practical, something of material that's being released. That's, in our case, back to Psalm 103, we're releasing memory. We're breaking forth with memory back to God. We're blessing God by remembering the things that he's done. The things that are remembering give us a list of things that God is a redeemer. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies us. Satisfies our mouth. He renews like the eagles, renews our youth. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He has made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. God making himself known to us. Someone described that today when they were reading the scriptures, that's our riches. That's the thing we boast in. I think Terry read it. Not boasting in material wealth, not boasting in the knowledge that we have about different things, but boasting in the fact that we know God, that we have a relationship with him. He has made himself known, his ways known to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Remembering this stuff. Now we're coming into a place, as we're blessing God by remembering this, we're coming into a place called faith. We're bringing things that are the evidence of God, memories, and bringing them right into the present. Faith is always about bringing things either from the past and the present, or something in the future, but bringing that right into the now, where it becomes hope. look at verse 17 here in Psalm 103. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. We've gone from an exercise of blessing the Lord by bringing things into memory, bringing them into the present, and that it bolsters our strength. It gives us boldness, the evidence of the things unseen, that we can have something tangible now in the present time of need. And now we're looking at the future. Faith expands both things. It traverses both ways. Look at verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Now we're looking into the what? Into the future. Upon them that fear him, his righteousness unto the children's children. Talking about the future. Faith gives us hope for our children. Faith gives us hope for the future. It makes us time travelers. It brings us into a place where time used to be a restriction because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You're unsure about the things of the past and you're trying to figure them out and you run them over your mind and you're in that kind of spiral. Faith transcends all of that and brings us into a place of freedom, of God's domain, outside of time. We travel in the future, we travel in the past. The evidence of the things in the past bring us into a boldness. As we look in the future, we have hope, we have substance, we have evidence. Faith is something real. It's brought into the now. It's something you can really sink your teeth into, you can really grab a hold of for the now. But it's a place of freedom, and it's the kingdom of God. Verse 18 speaks of a covenant, so I want to talk about that just a little bit. In your Bibles, you'll notice a major division there between an Old Testament and a New Testament. That can also be translated as Old Covenant, an Old Promise, and a New Promise. In verse 18, it talks about us that obey him, do his commandments, and that was the contingency on it, that you were to obey it, and if you didn't, then the deal's off. It was kind of subject to us. It was kind of on our shoulders. And God took of that responsibility on himself by becoming a man. So the new covenant is totally transferred on to God. And the responsibility of God rests on him for those to fulfilling that commandment. So now we lean on him. We look at Romans 6. We won't go there for sake of time. But the terms of faith are more of yielding, leaning on him, trusting in him. Yielding to him. Because we're not in the equation anymore of it being our responsibility to fulfill these commandments. We look to him for that strength. But yet our faith is still employed. We need to trust in him for that strength. We need to lean on him for that understanding instead of doing it on our own. So that's the difference between the new covenant and the old. And the new is better. We couldn't have the new without the old. The old was necessary. God couldn't just say, hey, we're going to start with a new commandment. Let's not do the old. One was necessary for the next one in God's perfect plan. Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all in verse 19, the domain of God. Verse 20, bless the Lord, all ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. We're told that we're going to judge angels, we're going to govern angels. And this, to me, is one of the delightful ways of being able to do that. And it's just being a worship leader, calling the angels to bless the Lord. Let's start praising God. Let's start worshiping the Lord. That's one way that we would govern the angels, is to call them to go into a blessing of the Lord, to break forth in that way. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, all ye ministers of his that do his pleasure, all ye servants of his. And this gets to us now, the decisions that we make. In this new covenant, in this Christian walk, you are faced with decisions all the time. There are plenty of decisions that were made in this little body of believers, hundreds of them just this week, decisions were made. Let's take a look at that. How do we make decisions in the context of this place called freedom that God has granted us, dwelling as citizens of heaven in this kingdom of God that has no ending? How do we make decisions in the context of freedom? I want you to get three levels. So you can think of a building with three levels on it in your mind. You can put that on. And the bottom floor, you have choices. It's the floor of choices. And each choice represents a ladder going up. So you have a lot of elevators in this building. This is a strange building. But this is the first level of freedom. And this is the one that we most understand. This is the one that we get all uptight about. And people, you'll hear about, well, I want my freedom of choice in this matter or that matter. So we understand that. We understand that level of freedom. That's only level one. That's only level one of freedom. And it doesn't fully define freedom. I think where we make a mistake, and our country makes a mistake, and government can make a mistake, families can make a mistake, and marriages can make a mistake, is when we say that is what freedom is. Well, I don't want to violate my wife's freedom there and take that choice away from her to do whatever she wanted to do this afternoon. That's not a full understanding of freedom. That's just the first floor. The full context of freedom brings us to a place of bearing fruit. And that glorifies God. Our liberty glorifies God. Our freedom glorifies God. What's on the second floor is truth. We could best explain this by giving examples. The three people I'm going to give an example to, they kind of land on the different levels. The first one is Abraham, and we talked about him a little bit when we went to Genesis. Abraham knew the end goal. He was promised fruit from his wife, that she would have a child. So he knew what the fruit was. He knew what the end game was. He knew it was on the third floor. That Sarah, his wife, would bear a child, and God would make them a great nation. But first, there had to be that one child. And they were old. So Abraham, in his freedom, in that context of that story, chose to go up a different way to get to that third floor. He knew the truth that Sarah would have a child. And that was the promise of God. So he knew the second floor, what was on it. The truth was Sarah would have a baby, and the third floor would be a great nation, would be born of that. But he had choices to make in that process because of what he saw and what he heard in the biology and what the doctors would say and all of that stuff. Is like, she can't have a child, even though I know the truth and I know the end result. So he took another way up. He took the escalator around the corner. He took the shortcut to help God out. I know God wants a great nation, so let's just get right to it. And so he did the surrogate thing with Hagar, their servant, and she birthed Ishmael. Interesting, God would still bless Ishmael as a great nation in his ways and his mercy and his grace to do that. But that wasn't God's plan. He still needed to go back to the first floor and make the right choice, which is to wait on God. And that path would be through Sarah. Sarah would give a child, and that would be Isaac. Laughter. And the fruit would be the great nation of Israel. That's just one example of freedom. That complete package describes to us what freedom is all about. If you don't know what the truth is that really freedom? Is just having choices freedom? If you've got choice one through a million, man, I've got a million choices, I'm free. Whee! If all of those million choices except one results in you dying or getting hit in the head with a hammer or something of that nature, don't you want to know something a little bit more? So truth is the second level that gives us freedom. It gives us freedom that makes us free. Roger. The truth makes us free. You're snoring. The truth makes us free. You've heard that before in the scripture in the Bible, haven't you? Truth Makes Us Free is a part, it's part and parcel in the freedom package. You're starting to get an understanding, a little bit more of what freedom is. If someone just has a bunch of choices, that's not freedom. That's not the whole story. If you give them that second level of truth, now you're starting to complete the idea of what freedom is. Now they can make right choices. They can make the best choices. They could still make wrong choices in the context and understanding of freedom. But having that right choice is the awesome thing. The third one, that third floor, is knowing what that fruit is going to be in that decision ultimately. Knowing that freedom is supposed to give forth the fruit. Freedom isn't the fruit itself, and sometimes we celebrate it that way. Yay, it's 4th of July. Let's celebrate freedom. Well, that's not really the fruit. Freedom is just the place and vehicle to bring us to a place of bearing fruit. If someone is oppressed and locked in a cage, Jesus says, I want to set that captive free. Why? So they can bear fruit. They're not bearing fruit all tied up and in captive and bondage of sin. All tied up in whatever thing they're in. God wants to set them free so they can bear fruit. The second example has to do with the second level, and that is truth. This is where Ruth, I think, scores a star. Abraham was a good one to talk about as far as making choices. He made the wrong choice and discovered what that was about. Ruth gets a star on the truth category. You remember that story a little bit, do you? Naomi lost her husband. She lost her two boys. She's in a foreign land. That's not good. That's rough. She was hurting. It's hurt. It hurt bad. And so she knows she needs to go back to her people. Her life is done there. And her two daughter-in-laws start to follow her. Remember Orpah and Ruth. So Naomi starts to go back to Israel, goes back to her homeland, go back to Jerusalem. She notices two people following. She says, no, you guys go back to your people. It's over. It's done. What did she do right then? She set those two girls free at level one. They have choices now. She didn't confine their choice to say, you have to follow me because I just lost my kids and you have, this is the only choice you have. What fruit might that bear? Bitterness? Resentment? But because of the choices they had, they were able to make a decision now based on truth. So Ruth would say this. Orpah would go back to her family. And Ruth said, I'm going to follow you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. There was something that resonated in Ruth. It's called truth. God has given every man, woman, and child a conscience that resonates with truth. It resonates with truth. It can be defiled. It can be boogered up with all kinds of things that are going on mentally. But God has gifted man with something that's in there deeply, called a conscience. When Peter was preaching the gospel, it says it cut quick right to their conscience, right to that place. It resonated. This is true. When Brian and Mindy were in the high school, there were people that witnessed them. One of the guys right now is a pastor, in fact. There was something that resonated. His conscience started resonating. All right? Different things could happen when you're looking at pretty girls. But in this case, it was the conscience that was resonating. It was resonating with truth. With Ruth, it started resonating. Bzzz. Naomi had the truth. She had the living God. She didn't know the outcome. She didn't know the fruit of it. That's why I put a star on truth for her. She didn't know the outcome. She's going into a foreign land. She's going to be a stranger. She's leaving all of her family and all her hometown and Orpah even, her sister. Her sister in the national sense. Leaving all of that she doesn't even know the fruit. She gets a star on truth just from resonating that, was able to make a choice and say, I know this is true, but I don't know what the outcome is going to be. That was my experience yesterday when I found out my wood carrier died. I called back because I had ordered some wood and it wasn't showing up, and his wife answered, oh, he died last week. That makes a interesting conversation, but long story short, she, you know, found out the funeral was yesterday, and I was like, I don't know these people. But I came to this place in Psalm 103. It said, bless ye servants of the Lord. And that spoke to me, because looking at his funeral arrangements and where it was and all of this, it said he was a policeman. He was a sheriff of Cayuga County, under sheriff. He was also a fireman, 35 years. And that was the simple truth I knew, but I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was to go. I had choices. I have social anxieties. I don't like to be in big crowds. I don't like to be around a lot of people, and you guys know that. So I had that going on. I had choices to make. I had freedom, but I knew the truth. I know God wanted me there. I didn't know what the outcome was. If I knew the things that were going to happen, maybe that would have helped, but a lot of times we don't know. So simply responding to the truth, I went to this funeral, which was at the high school in Wheatsport. There are two fire trucks with their ladders extended up on the entranceway with a 50-foot flag that you drive under, and there's at least 50 cops there. Vehicles everywhere, emergency vehicles. DEC was there, firemen were there. I was the odd man out. I didn't have any uniform out, and I said, is it all right if I'm here? You know, I didn't know if it was a closed funeral or, you know, just the guy that orders his wood. You know, it just kind of felt really strange, but I knew I was supposed to be there. I was in a strange land. And it, all through that, and going through my anxiety of being in this place with all this, the bagpipes are blowing and the guys are doing all the stuff that they do, it was just like, God, I know you have me here. Help me keep my eyes open for that and be able to talk with other people. The fruit started to roll out after that, and it's still going to, I believe, the connections made there. Responding, freedom brings us into a place of bearing fruit. The last one is Paul the Apostle. How are we doing here? That should be the last one. The last one, having to do with freedom. The star goes on the fruit. Paul was all about fruit, wasn't he? When he's talking about in the epistles, it was about loving each other and bearing fruit, and spoke to that quite often. In his choices, this is interesting, in his choices and his abilities and his freedom, level one freedom. I can do this, I can do this, but not all things are wise, are profitable, right? So he knows that there's a tie into the fruit. He said, I have freedom to eat this hamburger that was bought from this one place, but if it causes a brother to stumble that says, hey, that was made from this pagan area and this pagan temple, and I can't handle that. If it causes a brother to stumble, then I'm going to sacrifice that choice. The fruit isn't freedom. Okay? He was willing to sacrifice that for love. The fruit is love. That a brother wouldn't be stumbled. That he held that in high regard. He subjected his freedom in that sense. He resigned his own ability to make that choice because of fruit being compromised. Well, I have this choice that I can make, and I have the right because it's true. God's word supports it. I can eat this hamburger. I can just say, bless you, Lord, and not worry about my brother that's being stumbled. That is not freedom. That's not freedom in its full sense. The full sense of freedom is the desire to bear fruit. That's the end game. With all alignment in the truth. If you try to shortcut that, you have what Abraham did. And I'll just use Hagar to make a great nation. So you can't take truth out either. You have to go through each floor. Realize your choices. Connect them to truth, which connects to fruit. It's been my desire, and it's been a difficult teaching today. I've been having a difficult time articulating things today for whatever reason. But I've had a great desire to bring an understanding of what freedom is, especially in our country that worships it, that has been founded on it. We need to understand truly what freedom is. That freedom has been given not by man, it's been provided by God. God who has endowed man with certain inalienable rights. And it's in that domain of God that we experience freedom. Any other domain, the domain of man, the domain of darkness and Satan, is not freedom. You might have choices. It's going to result in a place of bondage. Maybe different challenges, spiritual things going on. I appreciate you guys sharing. That was probably the best part today. Worship being great too, the time of singing. Apologize if it's a little choppy and confusing today. Difficult topic, kind of bringing it together. Ultimately, Psalm 104 brings us into blessing God with a bending and breaking of the knee. And that's the awesomeness of God. We'll get into that next week. And we look forward to that, talking about his creation and the awesomeness in and around it. We praise you, Lord God. We pray a blessing, Lord Jesus Christ. As we bless you, Lord God, remembering the things you've called us to, Lord Jesus, we pray a blessing over each one here, Lord, over the little ones and everybody in between. Lord God, we need that blessing of boldness. We need that blessing of your presence as we face the giants that are before us this week.